You're listening to a Sunlife podcast. We pray you'll be blessed with the teaching of God's word. For more sermons, visit sunlife.org.au.
Okay, thank you. It is great to have everyone here this morning. If you are new and you've never met me before, my name is Ben and I'm one of the preachers at Sunlife Church. We're starting a new series, so you've come at a great time. Last week we commenced the series from the book of 1 John. We're titling this series, Love One Another. Okay, we've looked at the first four verses, and this morning I'm going to try my best to unpack the second half of chapter 1. Okay, so if you have your Bible, I want you to open your Bible out because we're going to get straight into the Word of God. I'm also going to encourage you that if you have a pen, pull a pen out as well. I mean, it'll be great just to scribble a few things down. You know, you might hear a few things going, oh, well, that's interesting, I'll write that down. Or you might say, well, I'm not quite sure about that, I want to go deeper. Write that down and bring that to your connect group and discuss that further. Or maybe you want to talk to me after the service or you want to pop me an email. But it's good to scribble. Okay, and I know that some of you guys out there, you probably don't use pens. You like to write with your thumbs. That's fine. You know, if you want to type with your thumbs, I still love you. There's still a place for you in heaven. It's all good. All right. But just don't check the Facebook. Don't do the Instagram stuff. All right. Just get into the Word. Okay. So, are we there? 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 to 10. I will read and I'll pray. We'll start. Let me read the Word of God. This is the message that we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all our sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Wow, that's an interesting passage. I'm going to pray and I'll unpack that with you this morning. Let me pray. Father God, I do pray now that you would help me to bring your word to your people. I pray, God, that, Lord, whatever it is that you're saying to us this morning, God, you will soften our hearts to receive, and that you would really encourage us to change, to be challenged, to grow, to be more like you. So would you strengthen me, Father? Would you help me this time? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now that's a very tough passage, and I want to thank the staff this week for their patience, their love, because I was an angry man this week, trying to figure out what is going on, pulling my hair, kicking, screaming. It is tough, and I think this is for you this morning. I titled the sermon, Walking in the Light, with three things I want to discuss. Number one, God is light. Number two, lifestyle in the light. And number three, forgiven by the light. All right? Three things I want to unpack with you, and I think it's quite hard-hitting. So let's dive into it. God is light. You notice in verse 5, John, the author, summarizes the gospel message, what he have heard, with three words. God is light. Look in verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. You know, in the Bible, elsewhere in the Bible, God is described as a consuming fire, or God is spirit, or God is love. But in the context of John, God is light. Can you see it right there? And when I think of light, I think of something clear, something white, something pure, something that is perfect with no imperfection. Would you agree with me? And that's why you notice in the second half of verse 5, he would add this, and in Him is no darkness at all. That God is completely pure, and in God there is no darkness at all. We don't see this in the English text, but you got to trust me here. In the Greek text, he uses a double negative. Me means no. So he goes, double negative, never, there is darkness in God. It is poor English, but very good Greek. Because when you go double negative in the Greek, you're really stressing the point it is impossible that God would ever have anything to do with darkness within him. In the New Testament, Jesus loves using double negatives as well. Let me give you two, just to encourage, I'll sidetrack a bit. Matthew 24 and John 10. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not, never pass away. What Jesus is saying here is that yes, the world will go, but what I say never pass away. It will remain for eternity. So in other words, take it seriously. John 10, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never, perish. In other words, never shall anyone pluck them out of my hand. I hold into that verse, and I believe that God loves me too much to let me go. That if God's going to save me, he will hold me because he will never, ever let me go. So right here in John's gospel, in John's letter, he is saying God is pure. There is no hint of corruption in God. There is no hint of evil. There is no hint of darkness. God is 100% pure. He is good. Light theologically means the essence of God is that he is perfect. Light ethically means that the conduct of God is always trustworthy and he's always honest. Are you with me? I mean, when you deal with God, when you draw close to God, if you are exploring God this morning because you are still trying to figure out this Christian thing, let me say that when you come to God, all you will find is goodness. You will never find any darkness in God. God is not dodgy, like maybe a second-hand news car dealer who's trying to get a quick deal out of you, or maybe the guy that's offering you fast broadband internet for only $10 a month, right? You know what's that saying? If it's too good to be true, it is probably what? Not true at all. But that's not the case with God. God is good all the time, as my Pentecostal brother would say. All the time. God is good. You see, there is no hint of sin or darkness or corruption in God. There is no fine print with God. That's what John is saying here. That God is light. He is trustworthy. He is worth you exploring and experiencing. And if you have a relationship with God and you're exploring his love and his goodness, keep that up. Keep exploring it. But if you don't, I'm saying to you that God is so good that as you draw to him, all you'll find is purity, holiness, goodness. No hint of corruption. No hint of darkness at all. Here's another thing I like about the fact that God is light. Is that light also directs our path. You know, I'm getting old right now. And my eyes are so weak. I've got to see Jason Lim one day soon. I get very frustrated. Because if Tran tells me to go into a room in the middle of the night to grab the boys their clothes or their toy, I'm like this. Now I'm going to ask the guys to just turn off all the lights. All right. I'm like this. I can't see. So I pick this thing called an iPhone and it's got like a little flashlight. Have you ever done that before?
Never.
Buy yourself an iPhone. All right. Okay, turn the lights back on. Right. You see, have you done that before? Because what we do is we know that if it's dark, if there's a source of light, it's going to guide our path. It allows us to go through darkness of life. The uncertainty of life is now, you know, there's clarity because God is light, because he shines his goodness upon us. You see, the psalmist says this in Psalm 19:105. Your word is a lamp upon my feet and a light to my path. That's wonderful. that as I draw closer to the Word of God, as I read the Word of God, I'm going to grow in my intimacy with God. I'm going to know God more, and God's light. In other words, His Word is a lamp which will be for my feet. It's going to guide me on my path. That's the great thing about having a relationship with God. That He's going to make sure that when life is uncertain, He's going to come and He's going to bring clarity to the situation. God is trustworthy. God is not this God who's waiting for you to fall. God is a God who's going to make sure you don't fall because His light is on your path so you can navigate through this thing called life. Because I tell you right now, friends, live long enough, you know, life will throw its curveball at you. You have those moments where you're quiet. You're not sure what's before you. It's uncertain. With work, with kids, with health, and it's dark, and it's horrible, and it's scary. That's when you need God. That's when God, who is light, will shine upon the situation to bring clarity so you can navigate yourself through this thing called life. There'll be moments where you ask God, God, why did this happen to me? God, this just doesn't make any sense at all. God, I don't like what I'm seeing before me. God, I don't even know what is around the corner, God. I'm struggling just to get by one day at a time. It's in those moments you have to know that as you draw closer to God, who is a God of light, who is good, and there's no hint of darkness in God, God's light will shine upon your situation and God will get you through. A few months ago, my family, we had a bit of a scare. And it was a very scary moment, and my wife had to get some checks, and you know how it is, you're waiting for the results. And I'm that close in calling all the doctors here to get on my case. But I said, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to resist myself, control myself. And I'm waiting. And Trey and I, we're quite anxious because we have to wait now for the specialist to come back with the results. And we don't know what's around the corner. So I just pray. I said, God, I know that You're good. God, I'm going to draw closer to You. And God, I just pray now that You would help me through this dark moment of life. And let me say, as soon as I prayed and as soon as we prayed together, I just felt that God saying, Ben, it's okay. Whatever happens, it's okay. I'm still going with you. I'm still going to make sure the path is okay. I'll give you all you need to get through this. And there was this peace, this reassurance that whatever the result, we would be okay. God is light. That's what He loves doing. And I pray that you would draw closer to this light and may His light shine upon your path to direct you. For those who don't know God yet, I pray that God is shining on your life so that you can see that in Christ it is the way to the Father. For those who know Jesus, I pray that His light is shining upon your life so as you look back you realize the sin that has been forgiven upon the cross. That's the light that God is shining upon us all. Growing up as a little boy, I learned this great song, Shine, Jesus, Shine. One of my first songs I learned as a little boy. I'm not going to sing it, but I'll read the lyrics. Lord, the light of Your love is shining, and in the midst of the darkness, shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. Set us free by the truth You now bring us. Shine on me. Shine on me. As He shines upon you, God is light. May He direct where you're going. Imagine how life would be different if you have that light upon you. Keep exploring, keep searching this God who is light. That's the first point. Here's the second point. A lifestyle in the light. If you know that God is light, the next part of the passage is like an offer. God is offering you something. You either receive it or reject it. Will you want a lifestyle with God as your light? Let's read on, verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with Him, that's God, while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. This is a warning. This is a stern warning. What John is saying here is that what comes out of the mouth must be aligned with the heart. You can't say to the people around you that you love God and you have a relationship with God, but in your heart you're still wicked. Walking in the New Testament, all right, and John is very good here because he uses the Greek present tense. The present tense simply means it's a continuous, ongoing, daily action, okay? So in the New Testament, when you read walking, especially here, walking in darkness, what John is saying is that if you are a Christian and every day you keep sinning, sin, and it doesn't affect you, you're still a Christian, but you keep on sinning, all right? Then you really do not have a relationship with God at all. That's what he's saying. And that's harsh. In fact, he would say this. If you claim to be in fellowship with God and you sin every day, all right? That particular temptation gets you every day and you just go, well, that's just who I am. Take it or leave it and I'll just sin every day. He is saying here, John, not me, John is saying, you lie about your relationship with God and you do not practice the truth. In other words, you practice evil. And that's harsh. And that's not me. That's the word of God here. Okay, you're lying about it. Let me give you an example. Let's say I'm on a program to lose some weight. Okay, the dietitian says, well, Ben, this is your program. I don't want you to eat any sweet. Okay, and every week you come and we're going to do some exercise and make sure during the week you don't touch sweet. But behind the back of the dietitian, I'm going away with my Tim Tams and my Krispy Kreme and I go in and meet my dietitian. He goes, Ben, how is your week? Are you on course to lose weight? Have you kept what I told you? Yeah, sure. I know, I'm not eating any sweet. I lie. There'll be no progress. I will not lose weight. I will not get fit. I will not be as big as Robert. All right? I'm lying. And that's John's point. If we claim, listen carefully, to have fellowship with God and keep on sinning and sin does not affect us, listen carefully, that claim that we have a relationship with God doesn't really exist. Sorry. So what's the offer? I said it's an offer. Well, the offer is in verse 7. Look in verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all our sin. Two steps, two levels. First level, if you do not know Jesus, if you do not know God, the offer is for you to meet Jesus. You need Jesus. Because you look carefully here, Jesus takes away all your sins. The blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses from all our sins. When we think of blood, we think of the cross. When we think of the cross, we think of the death of Christ. To believe in Jesus is to say, Jesus, I trust in you that you went to the cross and you died for my sins. I believe that that should have been me. But you took my place, and I am so thankful that in you, in your death, I have life. That is believing in Jesus. So the offer for you is this, is if you want to have a fellowship with God, if you want to have God who is a good God, who is a God of light, that he will guide your path, that as you draw close to God, there's no hint of darkness. If you don't have that and you want that, the offer is to receive Jesus. That's it. And it's not hard. It doesn't mean that suddenly you're different. That you've got to, you know, look a certain way, behave a certain way, that things change. No, you are exactly the same, but you live life with a faith in God and you see life differently. That's the offer for you if you do not know Jesus. Second step, if you do know Jesus, you've got to keep walking in the light. You see? Keep walking in the light. In other words, Jesus must continue to be your master. He must be your Lord. Do you understand that? He says right here that you've got to walk in the light because Jesus or God is in the light. In other words, there has to be a discipline in our lifestyle, a lifestyle of godliness, holiness. If you're still dodgy, stop it. If you're still cheating people, stop it. If you're still gossiping, stop it. You have to work on it and work on the discipline of living a godly lifestyle. And God is not requiring perfection, all right? We can never be perfect. It's impossible. But God is requiring progression. That when you look at your life, you go, wow, the last 5 years, ever since I met Jesus, it's changed. I've progressed. I'm treating my family different. I'm not using foul language anymore. There has to be a discipline for us to grow in holiness. That's walking in the light. And what would John say? If you walk in the light, in other words, if you walk with God as your Lord, you have fellowship with one another. It's interesting he does that. Because you should be saying, well, wait a minute. Shouldn't I have fellowship with God? Why did he leave that out? Why is he jumping straight into one another? Well, if you remember last week's sermon, what did I say? Fellowship with God, fellowship with one another are related. If you have a good fellowship with God, you have a good fellowship with one another. You can't pick and choose. So what John is saying here is that if you walk in the light, it's a given. You have a fellowship with God. But what is great is there'll be a fellowship amongst one another. That's what he's saying right there. So think about it. Maybe right now, you don't like anyone in the room. You don't want to do with anything in the one in the room. You come here and you just go. You say, I don't want any fellowship. I don't want to be involved with anyone. Then I want you to think this week. If I don't have fellowship with one another here, do I really have fellowship with God? And if I don't have fellowship with God, have I been walking in darkness? So maybe it's time to walk in the light. Grow into the discipline of holiness. Start reading your Bible. Start praying. Start getting someone to keep you accountable. Walk in the light. Because when you walk in the light, there will be a fellowship with the Father. And naturally, there will be fellowship with one another. And what are you going to do? That's the offer. For those who don't know Jesus, will you want Jesus today? For those who don't know Jesus, you've been coming for maybe months, years. Is this the morning you say, yes, Pastor, I want Jesus. I want to draw closer to Him, God who is light. Maybe you've come in for the first time and you're going, well, I really need someone to shine on my path. I need Jesus. I need Him in my life. That's an offer. Maybe you know Jesus, but God is saying to you this morning, maybe it's time to grow in your holiness. Start walking in the light. Start having Jesus as your Lord, as your Master. And as you do that, may there's more of this love for the people around you. Maybe you need to speak to someone. Talk to your connect group leader. Talk to your pastor, your elders. Find someone to keep you accountable. Maybe it's time to say, hey, I need you to help me so that I'm walking in the light. Remember, walking is what? A constant, daily, regular action. Not walking the light just one day and then forget about it. It is every day. Number three, forgiven by the light. What you notice now is that in the last three verses, John talks about sin. He talks about sin. And he would say that we all sin. Every one of you sin. I remember many months or many years ago, I was talking to a Christian brother, and we had this huge argument that he claimed that his pastor was teaching him that as a Christian, you don't sin anymore. You just don't sin. And I said, well, I still sin. And then he said to me, you're not a real Christian yet, Bin. And then I said, well, let's open up 1 John chapter 1. And he left the conversation. Because if you read 1 John chapter 1, John says that we all sin. Here's the problem, as you understand this carefully. If God is demanding us to be in fellowship with Him without sinning, but we still sin, God is not fair. Do you understand that? Listen carefully. If God is telling you and I that to be in fellowship with Him, we shouldn't be sinning, right? But we all sin. In other words, would there be a time where God says, I'm sick and tired of you guys. You guys keep sinning. I don't want to be in fellowship with you. If that's the case, why would God allow us to sin? Shouldn't God just stop us from sinning? Shouldn't God just remove us from sin? You see, that's what the false teacher taught. These false teachers were saying, well, if you truly know God, God actually pulls you out of the world and you don't sin anymore. You can't sin. And since you don't sin anymore, you're in perfect relationship with God the Father. That's their teaching. Right? That's what they were teaching. So you had a group of these people in the church saying, wow, I want that. I want to be sin-free. I want to follow your teaching. Tell me what must I do? And John writes this down. Look in verse 8 and verse 10. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Very obvious. Verse 10. If we say we have not sinned, we make him, that's God, a liar, and his word is not in us. It can't get more obvious. It's clear. As long as you're still breathing, as long as there's still a heartbeat, you and I will keep on sinning. So maybe this morning you're here and you feel that, well, this place is not for me because I keep sinning. All right? And everyone here is holy and everyone here is perfect and everyone here doesn't sin because they've got a good relationship with God. I want you to hear from me that's wrong. Because we all sin. I still struggle with it. So do you. We're all sick. We're all in the waiting room to see the great doctor to bring healing to us because every one of us here, we're all sinners. We're all in the same boat, so it's okay. It's okay to keep coming. It's okay to say, well, I struggle with this area. I need help. I need prayer. I need someone to keep me accountable. I need someone to pray for me. I need someone to call me up. I need help. That's okay. Because as your pastor, I still struggle. And I thank God that it's in the Bible that we all sin. Look what Charles Spurgeon would say. He who cannot find water in the sea is not more foolish than a man who cannot perceive sin in his members. Spurgeon saying, every one of us here, we're all sinners. But this is the thing with God, that as you go into this relationship with God, God begins to reveal your sin. He highlights your sin. Think about it. Before you were a Christian, you probably didn't know what you were doing was wrong. You thought that was the norm, and you lived a lifestyle like that. But that day you met Christ, as you begin to journey with Him in this relationship with God, God begins to reveal that that's actually wrong. Oh, I didn't know that saying foul words, that's swearing, and that's a sin. Oh, I didn't know that making false claim to the text man is a sin. Oh, I didn't know that driving above the speed limit is a sin, because it is. Oh, I didn't know that sleeping before marriage is a sin, because it is. You see what happens? Because as you draw closer to God, God begins to reveal to us that, hey, that's a sin. And I believe what happens is that we become more sin conscious, because God is saying, hey, that's wrong. That's wrong. And that's why Paul, another apostle, would write this in 1 Timothy 1:15. Jesus came to the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Can you think about that? This is Paul. Paul is one of the most godliest, holiest guy in the Bible, written most of the books in the New Testament, and he would say, I am the worst. I am the worst of all sinners. I'm bad. And that's what happens. As you draw closer to God, into intimacy with God, God exposes your sin. God reveals your sin. But there's a hope. There's always a hope in the Bible, and I love this. The hope is found in the middle of verse 8 and 10. Because in verse 9, there's a hope. Look in verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is beautiful. Listen carefully. This is a way forward. We have to confess all the sins we commit. Don't deny your sin. Face it. Confess it. And when you do that, God forgives. You know, the devil, he loves to tell us things like this. When you sin, he would say, look how pathetic you are. Look how sinful you are. Just run. Just hide. No one wants to do anything with you. And we hear those voices, and naturally what happens is that we do run. Because we don't tell anyone about it. We don't talk about it. We run away from our church. We run away from our connect group. We run away from Sunday. We run away from our pastor. Because the devil says, just hide in your sin. Have you been there before? You've done something and you know it's wrong, and you hear these voices. Just leave the church. Leave the Christian family. Just get out of here. Just run and hide in your sin. The devil will say that he wants that. Maybe you've been hearing that and you're here. For some reason you're here. I want you to listen to me. Because God is saying, don't deny your sin. Face it, confess it, and trust that God will forgive you. That's what the Bible says. What's confession? Four A's. Acknowledge our sin. Acknowledge it's something you've done. Or maybe something you should have done, but you didn't do it. There's a sin of commission, and there's a sin of omission, right? Two, admit it was all you and not God. Don't blame it on God. Don't say, God, you did it. You caused me to do it. God, I admit it was me. I was weak. Ask God for his grace and mercy so that you can overcome that sin. All right? And lastly, anticipate forgiveness will come your way. Why? Because God is faithful and just in forgiving us. You see, in the verse, it says that God forgives us because he is faithful and just in forgiving you and I. That means when you confess to God and ask for forgiveness, you just have to, ready? Anticipate forgiveness. Are you with me? Ask for forgiveness and anticipate for forgiveness because it will happen. Now listen carefully. I don't want to confuse you here. That our forgiveness from God is not based, right, does not find its grounds on our repentance nor our confession. You understand that, right? Our forgiveness is only based on the cross, what Jesus did upon the cross. And I don't know how, I don't know why, and I'm still trying to figure this out. If you have an answer, you come and tell me. I don't understand this. But somehow, how God relates to us is that he wants us to confess. All right? So when you hear teachings out there, when people are saying, oh, don't confess. Don't worry about confessing your sin because God's grace has forgiven you. The cross forgives you. Don't confess. Why are you confessing? Why are you going back there? Because it's going to bring back bad memories. That's heresy. You've got to confess. All right? You confess not because you'll be forgiven. You confess because you are forgiven. Are you with me? You confess because you know God is faithful and God is just. He will forgive you. Yeah? You confess because somehow that's the channel, that's the way that God wants to relate with you and I. He wants you to tell him that, hey God, I acknowledge that that's wrong. I really admit it's me, not you. And I'm asking you to help me overcome this. And I receive because I anticipate forgiveness. Why? Because I know you're just and I know you're faithful. That's what we have to do. Psalms 103:8. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. That's his promise. God is faithful. He'll keep that promise. Hebrews 8. This is God saying, for I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. That's God. So if God is trustworthy and God is honest, God is faithful, he will hold and keep his words. So when you confess, you have to receive and believe that you are forgiven. Okay, now I'm going to confuse you even more. Because I told you this is a tough passage. If you don't confess, if you don't admit it, the fellowship between you and God will be broken. Listen carefully. You would never ever be outside God's family. All right? God always loves you. God will always be your father. You will always be his children. There will never be a moment where you'll be kicked out of the family. The only time that would happen was probably when Adam and Eve stuffed up. But on the cross, it has been redeemed. God will never, ever kick you out of the family. But listen carefully. If you don't confess, if you don't repent, and you keep on sinning, the fellowship between you and God will be broken. It's like this. My two boys, oh man, they are very good at really playing up. They know how to get under my skin. They've got like a PhD on how to really get dad upset, right? Now, especially one of them, the middle one, I won't mention his name. He is really good at it. Right now, he gets under my skin. He's driving me up the wall. I'm not going to kick him out of the house. He's still my son. I'm still his dad. He's still part of the family. But let me say, if we're going to have dinner that evening, on the dinner table, there'll be no eye contact from me to him. I'm not going to ask him how was his day. That's the reality. Parents, do you agree with me? Amen? Okay, no, maybe it's me, right? That fellowship between him and myself has been broken. But the position that he has remains the same. And that's the same with God. What happens is that when you don't confess, you don't repent, and you keep on sinning, let me say, God will always be your God. You're always part of the family. You've never been kicked out of the family. But you'll notice that that fellowship, there's a disconnect, and it's dry. You're not hearing from God. You begin to say, God, I haven't heard from you for months, for years. And you realize the reason why. Because you've been sinning. You haven't repented. You haven't confessed. And it's like God is saying, well, I'm just waiting. I'm waiting to hear from you. I want you to come back. That's important for you to understand that. That if you don't confess, that fellowship will be broken. And this is the great thing about God. As you draw closer to Him, He exposes all our sins. But the one exposing our sin is also the one wiping away our sin. How good is that? There's always hope in the Bible. I'm a sinner, you're a sinner. But if I am willing to confess, not deny it, not run away from it, not hide from it, but say, hey God, I stuffed up. I need you to help me overcome this. I'm so sorry, God. I need more of your grace. I need more of your power. I need you to help me know that you're forgiven. Because God is faithful and God is just. What are you going to do, Sun Life Church? What are you going to do this week? What is God telling you this week? Maybe for some of you, today is the day you say, I need Jesus. Come and find me after the service. Tell me. Let me pray for you. Let me encourage you. Explore His love. Experience His grace. Maybe that's for you today. And maybe for those who are in a relationship with Jesus, but you just realize, Pastor, I think you're right. Now I know why my life is so dry. Now I know why I haven't heard from God. Because there's a sin that I keep falling over and over. I'm doing it over and over. I'm committing it over and over. I need to stop. I need help. I need prayer. I need someone to keep me accountable. I need to seek forgiveness. I need to repent. Maybe this morning is the morning. I want everyone's eyes closed. I don't know whether maybe in this church right now there is a disconnect in fellowship amongst the people in this church. Maybe this morning there's someone across the room that you just don't want to talk to. You've said something to them or they've said something to you and you guys have hurt each other. But no one is willing to admit their mistake. And maybe this morning it's time to apologize. Maybe this morning it's time to say, hey, I am sorry. And if you are on the receiving end, I pray that you will have the grace to forgive that person. Because that fellowship doesn't only extend between us and God, but also us and one another. So there's a few things that I want to challenge you with this morning. With all eyes closed, I'm going to really challenge us because I really believe that God wants me to do this. The first challenge is this. If you do not know Jesus, or maybe you think, maybe you thought you knew God, but you really don't. And you want Him in your life, and you say, Jesus, I need You because I want to have a relationship with You. I want to know that a God of light is there for me, who's going to shine upon my path. I need You, Jesus. I want to explore You. I want to experience You. If that is you this morning, can I just ask? You have the courage to raise your hand so that I can pray for you. Is there anyone this morning who is saying, I need Jesus. I need Him. I might not fully understand Him, but I'm really liking what I'm feeling, what I'm seeing, and I want to experience Him more. And I want to have a God who's watching over me, who's going to get me through this life because it's dark, it's uncertain. I want to see clarity in my situation. If that is you, and you want Jesus, can I ask you to put up your hand so I can pray for you? Is there anyone? Because it doesn't change you. It doesn't change you. It liberates you. Is there anyone? Here's my second challenge. Maybe you realize now why it is not sweet in this relationship with God. Maybe you realize why now you're in a season of dryness, because there is a sin. There is something that you haven't confessed yet. There is something that you haven't repented. If that is you, and you want to say, Pastor, that's me. I need to confess of something. And I need to know and anticipate forgiveness because God is faithful. That's me. If that is you, you raise your hand now. Yep, good, good, good. You raise your hand because this has got nothing to do with me. This is you and God. If your fellowship right now with God is broken and you know because of a certain sin, this is the morning that you say, God, help me to overcome. This is the day that you will confess and repent. If that is you, you raise your hands now. Anyone else? Good, I see your hands. Good. Good. It's exciting. Because it's an opportunity for you to say, God, I'm sorry. God, I need you to help me to overcome this. I want to get back on track. Good. Put your hands down now. Last one. There is a disconnect between you and someone else. Maybe a family member, maybe someone in this church, maybe someone at work, because you have hurt them or you haven't forgiven them. If you have hurt them, then you've got to apologize. You need to ask God for strength, for grace, to get out there and say, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? You've got to work on that. If that is you, and you know but that is you, I ask you to raise your hands now. Yep. Good. This is good. Because this is what God is all about. Now I'm going to ask the guys just to dim the lights a bit lower. Because I want a bit of privacy. And I'm going to ask everyone to be upstanding. Everyone upstanding. If you raise your hands. If you raise your hands. I want you to come forward, only if you're comfortable, and pray to God. And then if I know who you are, I'll be praying for you. But this is the thing here. If you really mean it, and you're saying, God, I really need your help, and I really want to repent, and I really want to confess, you don't really care about the people around you. Because it's just you and God. And if I know who you are, I want to pray for you. So as the music team begins to lead us in worship, I want to have this as an altar where we can just come and confess and repent. And I want to go around and I want to pray for you. And I believe that God will bring healing to you. And I believe that this is a new start. I'm so convicted in my heart that there's some of you here. You're just claiming you have a fellowship with God. But you're not. You're lying. And I'm saying that because I love you. I'm not pointing fingers. I'm not accusing you. That's not my style. I just want you to grow in that intimacy with God. So if you claim to have a fellowship with Him and you're still sinning, you've got to stop. So you come forward and you repent and you confess and you start praying now. So let's do that now. Let's do that now. If that's you, you come forward now. Yes, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. You come now. That's you. You come now and we're going to pray for you. And as we worship...